Doing my new Pac impression. This is going to be Pac next week when he comes out on TV. He's going to be like AJ Styles on Raw this week. He's going to be bumping into shit. Poor Pac doesn't know what's going on. But I do, because this is your AEW Rampage review for Friday, December 3rd, 2021. I am the Solomon, or I can very much see. I can see all of you through that little lens right there. And you can see me. Pac, unfortunately, is now blind in both eyes. Malakai Black tried to dig his eyeball out tonight. I have to say, I appreciate the commitment to consistency. Consistency, continuity. This is very important to Malakai Black, who is continuing a storyline that began in WWE. I blame Seth Rollins. This is all his fucking fault. All this eye shit. Everything that happened to poor Aleister Black last year on Raw is now carried over here into AEW, where he's now going after people's eyeballs. At least we didn't have an eyeball being popped out like a gumball like we did. Remember last year? Extreme Rules of the Horror Show. Thankfully, we didn't get that tonight. But I do believe that we're probably going to end up with some kind of an eye for an eye deal going on here. Maybe a WrestleMania 7-esque blindfold match coming up soon with Malakai and Pac. Who knows? Another Rampage in the books. You know, the thing about Rampage, it is a very unimportant show. That's the thing about Rampage. It's settled into, and I knew it would. I mean, I think a lot of us knew that this is where the show would settle, where it's an easy watch in an hour, but when it's over, you don't feel like you missed anything if you didn't watch. And when Rampage was first conceived of, they kind of described it as going to be like the third hour of Dynamite. You know, we're going to put big names on there. And they've stuck to that commitment. We've seen Bryan Danielson. We've seen CM Punk. They put big names on Rampage. It's not like it's just left to the, you know, the lower card, kind of the dark crew. But it is a very unimportant show most weeks. Nothing really offensive about it. I thought tonight's show was fine. Yeah, we got a couple of good matches on the show, but just doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of important shit going on. But hit that like button and subscribe. We're going to take you through the whole show. We did have a championship match tonight. We were supposed to have two. Actually, one of the positive things I'll say about tonight's show is that it kind of washed the stink out of my own eyes from that second hour of SmackDown. Because there was some good stuff at the beginning of SmackDown. I even debated coming on here tonight and turning this into a hybrid stream. But after that, it just went all downhill. So at least I got some good wrestling to put me back in a semi-good mood. Sammy Guevara opened the show defending the TNT Championship against the premier athlete Tony Nese. Dasha announced Nese from Strong Island, and I realized, boy, they have a lot of Long Island boys in this company. I don't know what it is. Nassau County, Suffolk County. They got a lot of Long Island people in this company. I went to college in Long Island. They're going to be in Long Island for Dynamite coming up this Wednesday. Almost 9,000 tickets sold for the very first Dynamite in the brand new UBS Arena. Same building they were in for Raw last week with a little over 5,000. Tony Khan, speaking of Tony's, Tony Khan tweeted earlier tonight before Rampage the following. The TNT title is at stake in a huge match tonight on Rampage. We have a great champion, and I am so impressed by the challenger. He has been one of the hottest free agents in the business. Ahead of this huge match tonight, I am making it official. Tony Nese is all elite. So there is the official announcement. Tony, and I said to you guys a few weeks ago, I said they're not putting Tony Nese in all these segments if he's not signed. I mean, he was probably signed a couple of months ago. But it is now official. Tony Nese is all elite. And Tony Nese had a chance to show off a lot of that athleticism that he talks about here in this match. He had a great showing in there against Guevara. Guevara hit a corkscrew tope right out of the gate, and his knee on the way down looked like it caught Nese right in the head, right in the face. So it looked cool. It looked devastating. Not like a Darby Allin dive, but it looked like a cool spot. And then 10 seconds later, Nese was in control. He shook it off like nothing even happened. And I'm just watching this and I'm thinking, you got to sell that shit. Come on, man. What are you doing? You got to sell that. But 10 seconds later, it was like it never even happened. Sammy was still selling the injured ribs. It's been many weeks now. DDP would be proud. Although DDP would have his taped up every single week. DDP went the extra mile when it came to selling the ribs. He was selling the ribs the way that Cowboy Bob Orton had the cast on his arm for all those years. So Guevara went to the top rope. Nice knocked his knocked his legs out from underneath him. And Sammy fell down stomach first. And now he's laying on the top rope stomach first. And they did a cool looking spot here where he... hey, shout out to Rowdy JJ. Look at this. Just became a Sound of Legend. That is a top tier member here on the channel. Sound of Legend JJ. Welcome aboard. Welcome to the family. And good to see Jacob. Jacob Donnelly, I'm going to be reading your super chat here in a little bit. So Sammy is stomach first, laid out on the top rope, and Nice kicked him, and he popped up into the air, and Tony caught him on his shoulders. So that was a cool-looking spot. I like that. And then hit a gut buster for a two count. Nice followed that with a springboard moonsault from the middle rope. You know, the thing about Tony Nice, and I thought this, and I used to comment on this when I first saw him... getting a kind of a semi-push in WWE. You know, Tony Nese is not a big, tall guy. But he got himself in great shape in recent years. And he did a great interview, by the way, on Chris Van Vliet's channel a few months ago. And talked about his workout regimen and kind of how he got himself in the shape that he's in now. Because he looks great. And so physically, he's improved his body. He's not an overly large guy, but it looks like he's got some mass to him. So when he was doing all the cruiserweight stuff, to me, it looked impressive to see him flying around the ring with, you know, looking the way he does, doing things like springboard moonsaults and stuff. It's kind of the same way I felt about Fabian Aichner. My first exposure to Fabian Aichner, who is now one half of the NXT Tag Team Champions in Imperium, I think it was in the Cruiserweight Classic. Is the first time I saw him. And again, not like an overly gigantic guy, but had some mass to him and was flying around the ring in ways that I wasn't expecting. And I just thought, man, this guy's a hell of an athlete. And that's the way I felt about Tony Nese. And so a little surprised, you know, given how much emphasis they put on looks and, you know, body in WWE, that they didn't give him a chance to do more than he did. He was the Cruiserweight champion. I mean, I think he won the Cruiserweight title at WrestleMania, so at least he had some success. But I think, you know, a guy like him, as athletic as he is, you can certainly find a role for him somewhere. So I think he's a good pickup for AEW. Not a big name, but in terms of, you know, younger guys, purely athletically speaking. What is wrong with me? I promise, whatever you think is in this mug, it's just water. Athletically speaking, the guy is gifted. That's what I'm trying to say. So, good signing for them. But anyway, he was working over Sammy's ribs, had a body scissors on. They cut to the picture-in-picture. Come back, and Nice has him in a single-leg crab, and he's burying his knee into Sammy's abdomen. Again, they're selling the ribs. That was the whole story of the match, selling the ribs on Sammy Guevara. Sammy came back with clotheslines, hit a double jump springboard cutter for a near fall. Nice countered with a, countered a go to hell attempt. He went for the GTH, did not hit it though, and locked on another single leg crab. Guevara got a small package for a near fall. Sammy hit a standing Spanish fly, again, only a 2.5 count. So Guevara hits a top rope springboard moonsault on Tony Nese. Tony Nese is out on the floor. Sammy looked like he's praying before he hits the move and hit a picture-perfect springboard moonsault. Nese, though, came back with a move of his own. He came back with a Sasuke special and hit the twisting tope out onto the floor. He quickly rushed Sammy back into the ring, went up top, and hit a 450 splash for a near fall. Nice power bombed him into the middle buckle in the corner, went for the running Nice, but Guevara caught him with a big kick and finally hit the GTH for the win. I thought it was a fun match. It's a fun way to open the show. Like I said, Nice looked great. I think he's a good pickup for them. This should have closed out the show. At least that's what I was thinking. Now, having seen what they did at the end, I can see why they wanted to end with that angle. But this was the real main event of this show. And I think the reason they do this, frankly, because there are other weeks where they may not have a big angle like they did at the end of the show tonight. But they'll open with what really is the main event. The reason they do that, I mean, it seems pretty transparent to me. They probably figure the audience is declining as the show goes on. That may not be the pattern every week. I mean, I'll see the quarter hours every single week for Rampage, but I'm willing to bet that at 10 p.m. on a Friday, the audience from 10 to 11 is going down and not up. And so that's why they very often will open the show with what feels like the main event. We had a backstage segment with Christian Cage, along with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, who, you know, doesn't say anything. He just sort of stands there. He goes, ah! Sticks his tongue out and does the, I guess that's what dinosaurs did back in the day. Right? I mean, how are we supposed to know? But Christian did all the talking, and he talked about Jurassic Express being on a roll, picking up a lot of wins recently, and he knows that sooner or later their luck is going to run out. He wants to continue to strike while the iron is hot. And he thinks Jurassic Express, they have a ways to go. He's teaching them along the way some very valuable lessons, but he's confident he can help them achieve success. I know I've been saying this for a few months now, but this is still very clearly, very obvious to me that this is leading to a Christian Cage heel turn. I thought that it would come sooner, but I still feel the same way I felt 2 or 3 months ago when they first started interacting together, that there's a heel turn coming and it's probably going to be for Christian Cage. I think it would be a mistake for it to be Jungle Boy. You don't turn Jungle Boy yet. There will come a time where Jungle Boy, hopefully at a point where he's more comfortable on promos, is in a position where you can turn him heel. But now is not that time. I think that would be about as stupid as turning Darby Allin heel right now. But Christian Cage, that guy was born to be a heel. We have Thunder Rosa on commentary for Jade Cargill's match against, they billed her as the kick demon, Jannai Kai. Who I think, I don't know if they mentioned it tonight, but I thought they had mentioned that Kai was a student of Thunder Rosa's. In fact, I don't have it in front of me, but somebody did tag me in this. They wanted to know if it would be a candidate for said tweet. I guess Eva Lee posted a tweet, didn't mention Thunder Rosa by name, but was talking about, how are you going to call someone a student? I forgot the tweet. Maybe somebody can bring it up. But basically throwing shade at Thunder Rosa. So there's still, at least from one side, but probably from both. Obviously, there's still some heat there between the two of them. And she's still picking a fight with her. But Thunder Rosa was on commentary. No Chris Jericho this week, because Chris Jericho was laid out by 2.0. Let's all give a round of applause for 2.0 for getting Chris Jericho off the show this week. So we have Thunder Rosa sitting in for this match on commentary. This was over before it even started. I don't even know how I can call this a match. I mean, it was over before it even had a chance to get going. There was a pump kick from Jade. She hit the Jaded, which is her finish. 32nd, maybe 31. Done. Jade Cargill picks up the win. I don't know who this woman is. I had never seen her wrestle before. I know she's wrestled, I think, on Dark in the past. She made her AEW debut, I think, on Dark earlier in the year. And Kai is still relatively new to the business. She only debuted back in 2018. I have not seen her wrestle before. Coming into tonight and having seen this match, I still haven't seen her wrestle because she didn't do jack shit here in this match. But even though this did her no favors, this was not to build up Jannai Kai. All due respect to her. This had nothing to do with Jannai Kai. Jannai Kai was a warm body in the ring who served a purpose. That purpose was to put over Jade Cargill and put more heat on the match between Jade Cargill and Thunder Rosa in the semifinals of the TBS title tournament. That is the only reason that she was... That's the only reason this segment even existed. So even though it didn't do her any favors, it wasn't about her. It was about Rosa and Jade. Cargill was going after Kai even after the match when it was over, and Thunder Rosa said, oh, I don't think so. And she got up from the announce desk and made a beeline for the ring to make the save. Referees came out to break them both up, and they're going to meet in the next round of the tournament. Hit that like button if you have not already done so. Thank you to our trusty mods who remind me to point that out in the chat every now and then. It does help the video when you do. And thank you again to all of our new subs who have joined in the last few days, and channel members as well. I see you. Adam Cole and the Young Bucks were in the back for a promo on Orange Cassidy and Best Friends. Young Bucks said that they will be back in action for the first time since Full Gear this coming Wednesday on Long Island on Dynamite. They would face any two members of the Best Friends, which later on were announced as Chuck Taylor and Rocky Romero of Chaos, back again from New Japan. Rocky Romero back on Dynamite coming up this week. Hey, you know who else is from Long Island? Now that I think about it, we're talking about all these Long Island guys, right? Two members of the Dark Order are from Long Island. Tony Nese is from Long Island. MJF is from Long Island. Speaking of the Best Friends, Trent. Trent is from Long Island as well. Trent, I don't believe, has been seen since he had, or at least in action, he had spinal fusion, neck fusion surgery. Trying to think when he had the surgery. I think it was over the summer. I want to say July is maybe when he had the surgery. So he's not going to be wrestling or doing anything physical. I would be surprised, though, if he wasn't on the show. If he wasn't in the building and at the show on Wednesday, given where they're going to be. Yeah, it's been a few months now, but I think he's still a ways off from actually coming back and getting back into the ring. You know, he's been very snake-bitten. I know he had the pec tear. And he missed a while with the pec tear. And I think, if my timeline is correct, I think he came back from that and then suffered the neck injury. And I believe that's been what has kept him out the last few months. So this has been a terrible year for Trent when it comes to injuries. So hopefully he can stay healthy in 2022. They recapped the Chris Jericho, Eddie Kingston 2.0 angle from last week. Eddie Kingston was backstage sitting, I think, in a staircase somewhere. And he was talking about how he didn't give a shit, basically, about Chris Jericho. I think a lot of people don't give a shit these days about Chris Jericho and whatever he's doing on TV. All he wanted to do was get his hands on 2.0. So I think we're going to end up getting the reluctant partners. I mean, I don't think. I know we're going to get the reluctant partners angle with Jericho and Eddie Kingston. Just a matter of when they decide to do the match. Maybe winter is coming. Jericho and Eddie Kingston against 2.0, maybe at Winter is Coming. And then we had our main event. Of course, Mark Henry was there to do his obligatory pre-match interview before the main event. Hey, Random, I see you. What's going on, Random? Mark Henry, whose only job, it seems, I guess, is community outreach and then appearing on Rampage to go, "It's time for the main event," with that big smile on his face. That's it. That's all he does. I guess that's all he really has to do. I don't really need to see him back in the ring. But he was interviewing Pac and Penta and then FTR with Tully Blanchard. So we had the Bastard Pack with his pirate eye patch. And Penta El Cero Miedo taking on FTR with Pac subbing for Rey Fénix. On TV, they claimed that Rey Fénix was injured and that's why he couldn't be on the show. Because if you remember, the match tonight was supposed to be AEW tag team titles on the line, 2 out of 3 falls. FTR against the Lucha Bros. They claimed an injury to Rey Fénix. He is not injured. That is a cover excuse. Rey Fénix is unable to, or at least on Wednesday, he was unable to get into Atlanta. He couldn't travel, some kind of visa issue. So he is not hurt. That's the good news. But the bad news is he couldn't make it in for the tapings on Wednesday. So they had to improvise, and this is the match that we ended up with. So it was not 2 out of 3 falls. They got rid of that stipulation. They never mentioned it, and it was a non-title match. So that took a lot of the excitement away from what they had originally planned here. But what we ended up with was still pretty good. So Pac and Penta early on, they combined to hit a double basement dropkick on Cash Wheeler. Harwood got the tag, Pac hip-tossed and was slamming him around. And they tried to explain these slams were a little wonky, and they were trying to explain that him only having vision in one eye apparently was throwing him off. It was throwing off his equilibrium. Penta came in, double stomp off the top to Harwood, his nether regions for a near fall. Wheeler broke up the pin, FTR double-teamed Penta to gain the advantage. So Penta was in trouble for a little while. And He got the tag. Pac was throwing kicks at Cash, at Dax Harwood. And Pac, you know, the thing I love about Pac, even with one eye, is why Pac is so much fun to watch, is everything that he does feels like it hurts. He doesn't hold back. Everything he does, he throws it with such velocity, and it looks stiff. You know, it might not be, but it looks and sounds great. The kicks he throws whenever he does some kind of dive or something. You know, every bit of offense that he throws out there when he's in the ring looks great, which is why I'm hopeful at some point they'll start doing more with him as a single. And when I say more with him, I think Pac one day would make a great TNT champion. I've said before that I think Pac can make an AEW world champion. Now, this is before they brought in all the big names like Punk and Danielson and Malakai, is when I made that comment. And now I feel like if Pac had a chance at that, he's been knocked down a few pegs. But Pac as the TNT champion absolutely should happen at some point. I mean, he's too good not to rise at least to that level, at least to the second most prestigious title in that company, if not the first one day. He absolutely could fill that role. So FTR took advantage as they went into the final picture-in-picture break of the night. They were working over a one-eyed Willie all throughout that final break. FTR hit the old demolition axe and smash finish. I don't know if that actually is what they used to call it now that I think of it, but I used to love that demolition finish where, in this case, they had Pac draped across the knee. And the other member of FTR came off the middle rope with an elbow drop. And they only got a near fall out of it. But I love how FTR has incorporated multiple classic tag team finishers into their matches. So they've incorporated Demolition's finish. They use the stuff pile driver that Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, of course Tully Blanchard, as the Brainbusters used to use. We've seen them use the old Powerplex finish that Power and Glory used to use, a very underrated tag team with a very underrated finish. Didn't last very long, but I was I was and still am a fan of Power and Glory and their finish. So I like that about FTR. I love that they have incorporated those moves into their arsenal. Harwood tried for a superplex. Pac, though, shoved him off the top rope and then hit a picture-perfect front face dropkick. Made the tag to Penta, who ran wild with chops on both members of FTR. DDT to Harwood, crossbody off the top to Cash Wheeler, but he kicked out. Penta hit a backstabber. Again, Wheeler kicked out. Penta with the standing corkscrew Code Red, just putting his own little spin on the Code Red. Code Red, he's like, the Code Red doesn't look good enough on its own. Let me jump into a corkscrew... A corkscrew motion as I hit a Code Red on this guy. And he and Pac went for the Fear Factor combo. Penta, though, got dragged out to the floor. And Pac hit a crossbody off the top. Dax rolled through, but two count only. So that was a nice little false finish. Harwood with the double underhook into the Tiger Driver 98. Pac kicked out. Then they had this convoluted spot where Pac got sent into Tully Blanchard. Harwood almost rammed into Tully, who had gotten up on the apron. And he stopped short, but then Pac went into Tully and knocked Tully off the apron, and it didn't really play into anything. That's why I said it was convoluted. It didn't lead to a distraction spot where Tully came back and did something, or it didn't lead directly into the finish. It just was sort of there. It didn't really serve any major purpose. Pac went up top. He ended up taking out both members of FTR on the floor with an Orihara moonsault. Back inside, Pac is setting up for something. And Harwood is down on the mat, and he is feigning a knee injury. And so that has the referee's attention. And so the referee does not see Malakai Black emerges. I don't know where he came from, if he came from the tunnel, the crowd, under the ring. I don't know, wherever he came from. He jumps up on the apron. He spits black mist into Pac's one good eye. And Pac goes down, and all of a sudden, magically, Harwood's knee is feeling just fine. And he covers Pac, and he gets the three count for the win. After the match, FTR, they beat down the babyfaces. They tore off Penta's mask. And Penta immediately covers up. Alex Abrahantes comes in the ring. and tries to sell Penta an HP laptop. But first, he takes his jacket and covers up Penta so nobody can see his face. And Malachi Black gets down on the mat and he starts digging his thumb into Pac's one good eye. He's trying to gouge out this man's eye. When he stands up, he has what is supposed to be Pac's blood all over his hand. Now, we can't see Pac's face. He's, you know, covered up in a fetal position. But we had blood all over Malachi's hand. This, as I said at the beginning, this is all Seth Rollins' fault. Were it not for Seth Rollins and what he did to poor Malachi last year, none of this would be happening. But I do appreciate the storyline continuity. It is unique, though, to have a company continuing a storyline from another company. That is something that does not happen very often. And not even a particularly good storyline. In fact, I thought that storyline was mostly shit last year. All the garbage with the eyeball stuff and all that, with Rollins and Mysterio, and they roped Aleister Black into it, and then he was wearing an eye patch for a while. But the continuity aspect of it I can appreciate. So the match was good. Again, it sucks Phoenix wasn't there. I guess it couldn't be helped. I think 2 out of 3 falls, frankly, would have been a good way. And, I mean, I'm assuming that the idea was to put a button on this feud. So I don't know if the plan would have been to continue it. I don't really see any reason to. If they would have had 2 out of 3 falls tonight and the Lucha Bros retained their titles, which I assume they would have, that, to me, would have signaled the end of this feud and they both move on to something else. But we didn't get that, and instead they had to stall things a little bit more until, I guess, Phoenix is able to travel again. So overall, a fine episode. Nothing more, nothing less. We got a couple of good matches out of it, but again, the show just doesn't feel important at all. And I know it's in a tough spot. Friday night, 10 p.m., it's not ideal at all. But that's sort of what this show has settled into. Not anything overly exciting. You know you're going to get some good wrestling out of it. You know you're going to get that one match that's going to be quick, maybe a squash to get somebody over. Maybe you'll get one good promo. Usually there's not a lot of time for like a long major promo on this show. You know, you get a couple of good matches in and out, and that's it. And that's what Rampage was. And Rampage I enjoyed a lot more than I did SmackDown tonight, for the most part. So that's the best compliment I can probably pay to this show. Thank God we had Rampage to wipe out some of what I saw on that SmackDown show tonight. Dynamite this coming Wednesday is at the brand new UBS Arena in Long Island. We have Bryan Danielson taking on Long Island's own Long John Silver. Jamie Hayter one-on-one against Riho, and the prodigal son returns home. MJF will be one of 12 men involved in a Dynamite Diamond Dozen Battle Royal for the Diamond Ring. So that's coming up on Wednesday. We are rocking the Twitter poll. Just shy of 80%. 79.3% thumbs up. 20.7% thumbs down. This is bombs away over my head here. This is what happens when you're in the flight path to JFK Airport here at 12 midnight. I'm just reading some of the messages. Yo, Brian says Rampage is like Sunday Night Heat. It is, actually. It basically is. And if you remember, when Sunday Night Heat first started, WWE, you know, there were some shows that they loaded up, not even counting the halftime Heat thing that they did with Rock and Mankind. But then it kind of settled into a third-string show behind SmackDown. This feels a little bit more, you know, I guess a little bit more important than Heat, just because Heat ended up becoming the third show. Rampage is the second show. But that's, I think, a fair comparison to make. Hey, Jeffrey Hall has been a Sound Off channel member for 4 months. 4 months for Jeffrey. Says, thank God for a W because WWE is horrible. You got the best show in the business. Sammy Kavara, he says, is lights out tonight. Sammy's been on fire recently. Sammy's been doing some good stuff. I like the work that Sammy's been putting in. I still like Sammy better, I think, as a heel. But I always said that there would come a time where Sammy would be a big babyface. And so we're seeing it now. We're seeing how over he can be as a babyface. More entertaining as a heel in terms of the out-of-the-ring stuff he was doing. But in the ring, he's been, like you said, lights out. He's been having a lot of great matches. All right, I see we have a lot of Super Chats coming in, so I want to read your Super Chats, and I want to thank you first for supporting the channel with your Super Chats. Fire Panda. I'll read yours in a little bit, buddy. I will get to yours, I promise. Who are we starting with? Are we starting with Groovy Goose? Yes, we are. We are starting with Groovy Goose. Thank you for the $5. Says food for thought. Do you think Vince also blames Triple H for CM Punk leaving? I can see that being another reason why Triple H's stock with Vince dropped. No, I don't think that factors into anything involving Vince and Triple H. CM Punk left in 2014, the same year that NXT, the first NXT takeover took place. So we went through that entire sort of glory period of NXT and Triple H building up NXT and gaining more influence in that end of the company. I think if Vince held a grudge against Triple H for something, that it would have manifested itself a lot sooner. So I don't think one really has anything to do with the other. Ryan Spies with the $4.99. Jade Cargill will be the first TBS champion and will drop the belt to Brandi Rhodes, who is wrestling in dark now to pay off their feud from last year. Well, I hope not. I certainly hope not. The winner of this tournament should be Ruby Soho, and if not Ruby Soho, then Thunder Rosa. We have a heel AEW Women's Champion right now in Britt Baker. I think that they might want to go the babyface route for the TBS title to start with. You've got two perfectly capable, very good choices in Ruby and Thunder Rosa, who I think the fans would love. Jade is not ready for that spot yet. So I hope that is not the case. Mr. Notorious Dez with the $5 Super Chat. I keep being reminded of that 2001 promo that Vince McMahon did when the NWO was coming in. When I watch WWE lately, I'm going to kill what I created. He says he has. Well, that was 2002. I'm sorry to be that guy, but it was 2002. But yes, I do remember that infamous promo. He wanted to inject a lethal dose of poison. And it does kind of feel like he's done that. Tuxedo T Servo, thank you for the 10. Enjoyed the RSPW video, thank you. Lurked in the group through the 90s. There was a post on the 9 moves of the Warrior. But to get to that number, he included running to the ring, shaking the ropes, etc. Loved RSPW. RSPW was quite the place back in the day. I mean, it still technically exists, but it's not the same. It's not what it used to be. Now we have social media, there's Facebook groups and live chats on YouTube, and RSPW has sort of outgrown its usefulness, but I'm glad that you are still enjoying the episodes. The brand new one, episode 36. I've only done a few video ones. They used to be an audio segment on the main show. Which is how we got to 36, but that is now up for everybody. It was up for channel members on Tuesday. You guys had it for a few days, and now everybody gets to enjoy. In fact, it's pinned right now in the live chat. You'll see it at the top if you missed it. Flamethrower! What's going on, my friend? Do you think that WWE is talking about getting rid of the Cruiserweight title as a direct result of wanting larger wrestling talents? I think there's talk of WWE junking the Cruiserweight title because they've never taken the Cruiserweight division seriously. When in their history has WWE ever truly taken the light heavyweights, the Cruiserweights, the Cruiserweight title seriously? They had a Cruiserweight Classic a number of years ago, which was great. I loved it. I enjoyed it. It had nothing to do with Vince McMahon. Obviously, he must have known it was going on, but I'm sure he had no involvement, direct involvement in booking that. When have they ever exhibited any kind of legitimate interest in doing anything meaningful with the Cruiserweights? Never. And now, you're right, I think that they are looking at guys who are bigger and larger than life, and it's just not a priority for them. And I'll talk more about the Cruiserweight title when I do my War Games predictions on the podcast on Sunday for NXT. I'll be live on YouTube Sunday night, by the way, when that pay-per-view is over, talking about War Games, so come on back then. Ryan Spies with the $4.99. I want Pac to start destroying jobbers while wearing two eye patches now. Well, that would take some talent. Although, I guess you can get see-through eye patches. I guess you could do that. Kiara Santiago with the $5. One day Britt Baker will put MJF in the lockjaw and everyone will rejoice. I am putting it out in the universe now. I think MJF would kind of like that, actually. I don't think he would mind it. French Fry Slut with the $2. Pack. That emoji is so small, I can't even see what it is. So, I don't know exactly what the message is there. It says pack with a colon and then a bunch of emojis. I see little people. Are they little pirates with the eye patch on? That I need my glasses for. I have no idea what that looks like. Jacob Donnelly with the $10. Could you see this Young Bucks and Best Friends thing potentially leading to an Okada appearance? I am probably reaching, but for some reason I thought about Adam Cole against Okada. Well, now you're getting me excited for something that's probably not going to happen. You know, I was thinking about Chaos when they announced that tonight, the whole Rocky Romero tie-in to the match on Wednesday. I do think we're going to see more appearances by Chaos members, and I think it's inevitable we'll get Okada. This close to Wrestle Kingdom, I can't imagine that they would want to take any kind of risk with Okada coming back and forth. Now, I know these new restrictions they just imposed in Japan with this new COVID variant, from what I understand, does not affect people who, you know, are from Japan. I think it only affects foreign. It would affect foreign talent, for example, coming back and forth. Who don't have a work visa. If I'm New Japan, I don't want Okada coming to the States now. You're so close to your biggest event of the year, I don't take any chances. So, no, I don't think Okada's coming in yet. And I think, I don't think you want to do it yet. I think you can wait and hold off on it until sometime next year. But hey, you know, maybe Yano. Maybe we're going to get something with Yano at some point. I almost think like it's inevitable. How do you not do? Blind man emojis? Is that what that was? Okay. It's a blind man emoji. I mean, look at it on the screen there. I think it's also the dark background. I can't see what that is. It looks like a guy who's dancing. Actually, it looks like a guy who's holding a broomstick. I think my vision is going. I think I'm the blind man. It's not Pac. I think it's me. Doesn't that look like a guy with a broomstick in his hand? Anyway. Jacob, thank you for the question. I don't think we're getting Okada just yet. Orlando with the $4.99. Hey, Solomonster, good show. Where are the Good Brothers? I think you're the only person who's even attempted to ask that question. I don't think anybody gives a shit where the Good Brothers are. I know I don't. The Good Brothers are back at Impact. The working agreement between Impact and AEW has ended for the time being. And so they had to go back to their home. Their home is Impact. I know it kind of felt like they were signed to AEW because they were on TV every week, but they were not. They're still Impact talent. Magician Sapphire with the $10 Super Chat. Jannai Kai got wasted quicker than Al Bundy. Original Project dropped that $50 bomb earlier. How have you been feeling the storytelling of the? I assume that means show. Heading into the third year, I think the storytelling for the most part has been good. I mean, they just wrapped up that long story with Hangman. And Hangman and Omega, which in and of itself is a story that goes back, you know, a good year and a half. So I enjoyed that. And they told other stories along the way, you know, whether it's, you know, MJF and Darby, or the Bucks and the Lucha Bros, and, you know, even outside of the Elite stuff, trying to think of what some of my other favorite stories or storylines have been this year. You know, the Elite and the Pinnacle stuff, I got pretty tired of that pretty quickly. I think it's been good. I think there's room for improvement and some more compelling stories. You know, I am completely, you know, ready for Punk and MJF. They have me invested. They have me hooked. But they only just got started with that story, and they'll be telling that for a while. I think the work that Bryan Danielson has been doing, and now, you know, running through the various members of the Dark Order before he gets the championship match. The heel turn was very sudden. Again, it's only been a few weeks, but I'm really digging what he's been doing. So I would like to see that continue. But there's always room for improvement. You know, the stories have not always been great. You know, the Hardy Family Office stuff, I was not into that at all. I have no interest in seeing the Hardy Family Office ever again. I think it actually did Private Party worse for joining the group than they were before they joined. Where have they been? Where's, you know, where's Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Quinn? What have they been up to? I think they've been dragged down, frankly, by the Hardy Family Office stuff. So there's room for improvement in the stories. But again, to the people who think there are no stories in AEW, you can't say that because that's not true. And the key stories now with Danielson and with Punk, I'm enjoying the most. The two former WWE guys, I'm enjoying their stories the most right now. Drew Johnson has been a Sound Off channel member for 3 months. He wanted to say, "You're the man, love the show." That's very nice of you to say that, Drew. And thank you for your patronage, I appreciate it. Nayef Al-Safar, dropping $9.99, another member of the family. What's going on, Nayef? Lamars Smith with the $9.99. I don't know why everyone online is upset about Roman and Brock at day one. I'm excited. Less of a chance we get them at WrestleMania. And we could possibly get two fresh matches. Just because Roman and Brock is happening at day one does not mean it is not happening at WrestleMania. But I do think it increases the chances that we will get Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. Because it really was only going to be one of those two. It was either going to be Reigns and Lesnar or Reigns and McIntyre. And the fact they're doing the second match with Reigns and Lesnar at day one makes it more likely that it will be Reigns and McIntyre at WrestleMania. Now, whether or not you like that depends on how much you like Drew McIntyre. Are you tired of him? Are you, you know, I kind of look at it as he's getting a fresh start on SmackDown. The stuff with the sword and everything I think is goofy. I think the stuff with the sword, I wish they would just drop it already. I mean, if he wants to bring it as a prop for his entrance, that's fine. When he goes running around threatening to behead people like fucking Highlander, I mean, that's ridiculous. He's going to be riding it on horseback one day. But they moved him over to SmackDown, I think, to build him up for Roman Reigns. And, you know, we've seen one match with them before. I enjoyed it a lot at Survivor Series last year. I would not mind seeing them again. I look forward to seeing them again in the ring. But is Drew McIntyre the one that you think should be the one to take the title from Roman Reigns? After all this time, the guy's going on a year and a half. It'll be a year and a half. He gets to WrestleMania, I think it'll be more than a year and a half, as the Universal Champion. Does Drew McIntyre feel like the guy who should be the one to take the title from Roman Reigns? They have done such a poor job of building up anybody else. There's nobody else with any kind of credibility that I could look at right now on that roster and say, you know what? That should be the guy. It's Brock Lesnar and it's Drew McIntyre. And that's it. They have built up nobody else. Nobody else. And that's on them, because it's not for lack of talent, but they haven't done it. Now, what's interesting is if Brock Lesnar goes to day one and loses to Roman Reigns, as I would expect him to, what does Brock Lesnar do at WrestleMania? I've talked ad nauseum about Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley. So you could have a 1-2 punch of Lesnar and Lashley at WrestleMania. And then you could do Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. You got two nights of WrestleMania. You could have one match on one night, the other match on the other night. And even better, when you get to WrestleMania, you do Edge and AJ Styles. And if AJ is still stuck in tag team hell, then you go with my other choice that I've been pitching, Edge and Kevin Owens. I have no idea if Kevin Owens will even be working for WWE. I'm assuming not by WrestleMania. I'm assuming he's on his way out. So you could do Edge and AJ. You could do Lesnar and Lashley. You could do Roman and Drew. That could be your top three for the men. And then whatever the matches are going to be on the women's side. Now we're booking WrestleMania here. We do everything here on these streams. Fire Panda 007. Where do you think this Cody and Black and Andrade feud goes now? Now that they did the table spot, in my opinion, that feud has to end soon. Oh, I think the Cody and the Malakai stuff is done. I mean, there's no reason at all to continue it at this point. The table spot is, I'm going to get more into it on the show on Sunday as well, but I'll say now what I said on Wednesday. You know, the only reason that spot happened on Dynamite is because Cody is not turning heel. And I believe him when he says that he does not want to turn heel. He is not going to turn heel. That was his way of trying to win the fans over, was putting himself through that flaming table. I thought it was an incredibly stupid spot. It was completely unnecessary in that match. If you're going to do that, save it for a big payoff to like a blood feud. He had practically no feud going with Andrade, and all of a sudden they're busting out flaming tables. It was completely unwarranted. And I went back and I rewatched the spot, and I didn't mention this on the stream on Wednesday because I was kind of caught up in the moment and just the whole flaming table thing. But, you know, if you watch it back, it's even dumber upon second viewing. As cool as it looks, I mean, it looks cool. It's a cool spot. And look, Cody's got a lot of balls for doing it. But it looked more like a sliced bread by Andrade. It looked like Andrade was giving him a sliced bread off the top rope. And Andrade never even touched the table. It was all Cody. And yet Andrade laid there and Cody covered him for the win. So even that aspect of it didn't work. It was just, let's do a flaming table spot for the sake of doing a flaming table spot. It's like, hey, you know, now you can cheer for me. It doesn't work that way. You know, he might have won over some fans as far as their respect. But every city is different. They're going to be in Long Island this week. You think they're all going to cheer Cody when he comes out? When they're in Texas for Winter is Coming in 2 weeks, if he's on that show, you think they're all going to cheer for Cody? He might get some more cheers out of it, but, you know, I don't think that that plan is going to work. And that's the only reason they did that spot on Wednesday, because I think he wants to be the John Cena of AEW. I think he's... Look, I'm sure Cody would love to go out there and get cheered by everybody, but I think he's adamant about not turning heel, and I think he's resigned to being the Cena who goes out there and gets these loud mixed reactions. Even if they are mostly negative, I think Cody is resigned to just being the John Cena of AEW when it comes to crowd reactions. But I thought it was a dumb spot. Comes off as very desperate. Drew Johnson, Sammy Guevara is my favorite. Dude is the best that I've seen since Shawn Michaels. That's high praise. Sammy is very good. Sammy is one of the young pillars. They talk about the pillars of AEW. Sammy is one of the pillars. Fire Panda says his birthday was great. Good to spend the day after with you and the family on the chat. Well, it's good to have you. And I was going to ask you about that. Hopefully your birthday went well. Yeah, the Coug in the chat says Andrade's chest was on fire. His chest was not on fire. What happened, and this is, again, one of the many reasons why this was so stupid to do. And those flames, by the way, were ridiculous. I think Brandy went a little overboard on the... what was it? The lighter fluid. She went a little nuts with the lighter fluid because Cody comes up and he's on fire. And what happened was, when he reached over to cover Andrade, part of his arm was still burning. And it was burning Andrade's chest. And Andrade is the one who put the flame out because he could feel that he was being burned. And so he was smacking Cody's arm to put the flame out. Andrade was the smart one. I think he wanted no part of that flaming table, which is like, dude, you want to go through it, go right ahead. I'm not touching that thing. He was the smart one. So his chest was not technically on fire. That was actually Cody's arm that was on fire. Vitamin Vision TV. I randomly saw the clip today of Crash Holly at Funtime USA. As a fellow Brooklynite, do you have a Funtime USA story or memories? I got lots of Funtime USA memories. They had the test of strength with the giant hammer. They had the bumper cars. They had the ball pit, which is what Crash went through, the super slide. I went down that super slide dozens of times. They had... I'm trying to think which WWF... It might have been WrestleMania the arcade game that they had in the arcade upstairs. I think it was WrestleMania the arcade game. Because this would have been around 95, 96. So that's what it was. Many a time playing that game. They had a couple of WWF... Actually, they had more than a couple. They had like three or four WWF signings at Funtime. I went to two of them. One of them was Shawn Michaels in the summer of 95. And I met him and I got to hold the Intercontinental title when he had the blue, like that light blue, like a sky blue strap. That belt was... It's like the color of my shirt. The shirt that I'm wearing right now, that was the color of the strap that the IC title had at the time. And boy, was that belt beat to shit. And then another time, Sid came when he was the WWF champion. So that had to be the very end of 96. And I went and, got to hold the Winged Eagle and all that. Didn't get any pictures, but Sid was cool. Sid pulled the belt out of this black velvet bag and I was like, oh, it's like... I was seeing something magical when he pulled that belt out. But they had Austin. I didn't go to see Austin. I don't remember why. A lot of good times at Funtime USA. And now it's a giant storage facility. People store their shit there. Very sad. There used to be a bowling alley right across the street. That's gone too. French Fry Slut. They're blind man emojis. That was from earlier. Apana MG dropping $1.35. Buy or sell AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega and AJ Styles versus CM Punk. Which match feels bigger? Styles and Omega would feel like the bigger match. Nick Grosso with the $9.99. Do you think Dexter Lumis is getting released because he disappeared? So maybe he went to Jacksonville to talk to Tony Khan or Orlando to talk to Scott D'Amore. Either way, I think him, Santos Escobar, and LA Knight are gone. Yeah, you know, it does kind of feel like LA Knight's future is not looking too good in WWE. And I don't understand that at all. I understand that he's not the youngest guy. And they're going for youth. How is a guy like LA Knight not on Raw or SmackDown right now? Explain that to me. Forget the age thing, because they got Damian Priest on that show and he's almost 40. So explain to me why LA Knight, you can't find a role for LA Knight as a heel on SmackDown or Raw. It is beyond insane. Beyond insane. Dexter Lumis, I don't think Dexter Lumis is getting released. I don't know what's going on with him. I guess, you know, I assume it's just a storyline injury with the hand. They're not protecting him the way that they used to. I feel like he's taken a lot of losses recently. I don't see him being released yet. I mean, nobody is safe in that company outside of a couple of top guys. I don't have a good feeling, honestly, though, about Escobar or Knight. I just don't. Quintus Brown, House of Glory card is stacked. Cannot wait. I'm very excited. House of Glory next weekend. So 8 day, actually it's after midnight. So a week from now, next Saturday, For the Glory, streaming live on Fight TV at 7 Eastern. I will be on commentary again. We got Malachi Black, the aforementioned Malachi Black. I have to watch my eye. If he comes near me, I'm going to have to watch for the black mist. I'll wear these glasses to protect myself. What do you think? I'll wear these glasses during the show. I won't be able to see anything, but I'll wear these glasses during the show. But we got Malakai Black taking on Amazing Red. We've got Buddy Matthews, former Buddy Murphy. He's on the card. We're bringing him in, making his Hog debut. He's taking on Low-Ki for the Crown Jewel Championship. We got the Bollywood Boys coming in, making their Hog debut. And more matches to come. So it's looking like a fun card next weekend. Will Mantic, or Willie Mantic, 80, with the $10 Super Chat. What is your favorite WWE pay-per-view name? Favorite pay-per-view name. I love the Royal Rumble. I really like that name. I love the Royal Rumble. I think that's a great name. I'm trying to think what my number two would be. I answered a question the other day. I was very partial to the Backlash name. I like Backlash. I think that's a cool name. You know, even King of the Ring. I think King of the Ring is a cool name. God, where are some of the other ones? I'm trying to think of pay-per-views they don't do anymore that they've done away with. I thought Armageddon was always a pretty cool name. But Royal Rumble would probably be at the top of my list. Mario DeRose, are the Mets going to the World Series? Of course they are. Of course they are. I say that every year. You gotta believe. That's the Mets' mantra. You gotta believe. Until they inevitably let you down. That is the life of a Mets fan. That's pretty much the way it is every year. Quintus Brown, I did not like how they did Sammy tonight. Yeah, Sami Zayn is another one. I'm sure it'll just play into his whole storyline where the world is against him, it's a conspiracy and all that. It kind of fits his character, but boy, did he look like a fucking jabron on that show tonight. Fire Panda. I feel like WWE is waiting for The Rock to be available so they can do the title change, if not Brock or Drew. I only see Rock taking that belt. The Rock is not going to be the Universal Champion. The Rock will never again be the WWE or the Universal Champion. It's not going to happen. The Rock came back. He had the title. He dropped it to Cena. He put John Cena over, even though nobody really wanted to see that rematch. But he did business. There's no reason for Rock, if he ever wrestles again, to wrestle for a championship. It's like Bill Goldberg coming back now and wrestling for the Universal or the WWE Championship. There's no reason for it. And actually, I just had a horrifying thought. Now that I said that name, we were talking about WrestleMania a little while ago. We know Bill Goldberg still has time on his WWE contract. I think he's got another one or two matches at least. They never did do the Goldberg-Roman Reigns match like they wanted to at WrestleMania last year. And Goldberg still talks about it. The battle of the Georgia against Georgia Tech. You know, like, who gives a shit? I don't even think people from Georgia give a shit about that. Where Goldberg went to college and where Roman Reigns went to college, who cares? You know, but the Battle of the Spears. Would WWE blow off the Brock Lesnar match at day one so that at WrestleMania they could do Roman Reigns against Bill Goldberg? There's a question for you. There's a question for you right there. Now, they probably are going to be doing a Saudi Arabia show in February. They could do Roman against Goldberg in Saudi Arabia just to do it and get it over with. If they're going to do it, I would hope they do it there because I don't want to see Roman Reigns and Bill Goldberg at WrestleMania. You're going to do it, you put Roman Reigns in the ring with somebody, a full-time performer who can really benefit from getting a win. Goldberg doesn't benefit from anything. Nor does it benefit anybody else. I'm sorry. But I said that name out loud, and now I'm scared all of a sudden. Because you know before Goldberg is done, he's going to get that match with Roman Reigns. Just a matter of when. Fire Panda, hopefully that answers your question. He also says, favorite pay-per-view name would be Great Balls of Fire. Quintus, we need Santana and Ortiz back on TV. I agree. Ed Weber says, Battle of the Spears. Get the fuck out of here. There are five people on the roster who do spears. Another great point. But you know that that would be part of how they would promote it, the Battle of the Spears, right? But he's right. Everybody, it's like, it's not as bad as the dives, but Goldberg does the spear, Roman Reigns does the spear, Edge does the spear. Who else? There's at least one other person. I guess Big E. Big E does a spear, although he does it through the ropes. But isn't there somebody, there's somebody else who does a spear. List all the names in the chat. Current active WWE or NXT people who use the spear. I'm almost positive there's at least one more person who I'm not thinking of. Maybe it's in NXT. And Fire Panda says, I bet $1 that The Rock takes that belt. Well, I'll take you up on that bet. The Rock is not winning the belt. Oh, Bobby Lashley. Thank you. How could I forget? There you go. Bobby Lashley. Another one. Bobby Lashley does the spear. Charlotte. Charlotte Flair does the spear. Ryan Spies. I think if best friends are going to bring in anyone to help them against the Super Click and Bobby Fish, it would probably be Johnny Gargano if he leaves. I'm not convinced that Gargano is leaving. I don't really see any upward mobility for him in that company, so I don't know why he would stay, but I'm not convinced he's leaving. Kyle O'Reilly, on the other hand, I don't even know what to say if Kyle O'Reilly re-signs and stays with WWE. I really don't. That, to me, is just giving up and saying, just give me the money, just pay me and I'll do whatever you want me to do. I mean, it would be insane for him to stay in that company. There is no reason, unless they give him a raise to $1 million a year, there is no reason for Kyle O'Reilly to stay in that company when his contract is up this month. And I don't know what day this month his contract is up, but there is no reason for him to stay. I think there is a much better chance of him leaving than Johnny Gargano. But could Gargano leave? Sure. His wife is not going anywhere, though, because his wife is pregnant and they're going to just tack on time to her contract. They're not going to let her walk. Now, husbands and wives, they work for different companies all the time, right? Look at Miro and Lana. Look at Charlotte and Andrade. They're not married. In fact, I don't think they're together at all anymore. Now I'm seeing stories they broke up. None of my business, but they work for different companies. So you can work for different companies, but I think there's a better chance that O'Reilly leaves. And yes, Fire Panda says Lashley does the spear. As we were just talking about, Lashley does in fact do the spear. A little weird too, that video package they aired for him on Monday. Felt like it was a nice video package, but it felt like a babyface video package. So I thought that was a little strange. Tuxedo makes a great point. If WWE gives O'Reilly a $1 million contract, he's totally getting released in the next round. But that's a great point. So even the excuse, if you just purely financial, if you are someone who says Kyle O'Reilly cannot make the kind of money that WWE would offer him if he goes anywhere else, like Tony Khan's not going to give him the kind of money, if WWE really wants him to stay, they can up the money offer. But, you know, as Tuxedo just said, there are a lot of guys who re-sign with WWE, and Anderson and Gallows are a great example. We just talked about them. Somebody asked about the Good Brothers. They signed big fat contracts for high six figures per year. And 6 months later, they were gone. It doesn't matter. You can sign a contract for $1 billion. They could turn around 3 months later and shit can you. Because remember, you have no job security in that company. So I repeat, why in the world would Kyle O'Reilly want to stick around and keep teaming with Von fucking Wagner in NXT? They're challenging for the tag team titles, by the way, on Sunday. Fire Panda says, if you had to bring one person back to WWE, who would it be and why? Back from the dead, back from another promotion. I mean, there's a lot of people they never should have released in the first place. You know, we talked about Bronson Reed, we talked about Aleister Black, we talked about a lot of different people. I don't know that I want any of them in WWE. knowing that they were not used properly the first time or not fully appreciated for what they bring to the table, why would I want to see them back in WWE? I mean, I hate that I even think that way, but that's kind of where I'm at this point. I wouldn't want to put it on them to go back to WWE. So I can't think of anybody at the moment who I would want to pluck out from Impact or AEW or New Japan or some other place and put them back in WWE. I almost feel like I would be, you know, they would look at me and go, why do you hate me so much? Like, why would I want to do that to them? There is nobody at the moment who I am aching to see back in WWE. I would just like to see WWE do a better job of utilizing the people they currently have. For all the people they've released, 80 different wrestlers have been fired this year. They still have a lot of talent. So, you know, I would just like to see them do a better job of using the talent they have at the moment. He says one person from all of the talent that got released this year. Again, it's like I just said, I don't know that I would want them back there if they were not appreciated the first time. Then WWE doesn't deserve their services. They obviously didn't value them the first time. Why would the second time be any different? I'd rather they find success somewhere else. Mario DeRose, buy or sell Tony Khan or Steve Cohen as the better owner? Steve Cohen is the new owner of the New York Mets, for those who don't know who Steve Cohen is. Well, I mean, billionaire hedge fund guy who just bought the New York Mets. The better owner. I mean, Steve Cohen is still unproven as the owner of a Major League Baseball team. He is still untested. Tony Khan has demonstrated some level of success so far in his little world of pro wrestling. So I would have to go Tony Khan, but you really should ask me that question in a year, and I might have a different answer for you. Fire Panda says, I would totally bring back Nia Jax, and not one person would be pissed. I detect some sarcasm in your super chat. By the way, I love Nia Jax going on Twitter and saying that she is very likely not going to wrestle again. It makes her decision a little bit easier when you realize that there's no major promotion that would want to sign her. So it's not as if people are going to be knocking down her door. She may as well just retire. I don't think they're banging down her door. I'm sure there are some promotions, some smaller promotions that would say, hey, she's from WWE television, so she's got a name, let's bring her in. There ain't no major promotions knocking down Nia Jax's door, so I would retire too. If nobody was picking up the phone and calling me. So now we're caught up on your super chats. Yeah, Tuxedo says, I hope that's sarcasm. I would fire a panda. I'm not so sure. I would certainly hope that's sarcasm. I said sarcasm because Dick Tickles just mentioned stardom in the chat, and somehow the lines got crossed in my brain. It's too late. He says stardom would totally pick up Nia Jax. No, they wouldn't. Ed Weber says, I'm going to go on Twitter and announce that I'm not interested in working as a surgeon. There you go. Well, you've scooped me because I was about to reveal something very, very personal to all of you guys. I was going to save it for the podcast this weekend, but I guess the cat's out of the bag now. I may as well announce it to you. I am, in fact, turning down all offers to appear in this very high-budget porn film that is being made. And I was, you know, going to be cast in the lead role. It was going to be me and 8 beautiful women, but I'm turning it down. Before they even make me the offer, which I'm sure was about to come my way. See what I did there? I'm turning it down. That's about as ridiculous as the Nia Jax situation. Fire Panda, bring her back and Ahmed Johnson. Nobody would be pissed and nobody would get hurt. Yeah, Ahmed, let me tell you something. It wasn't just that Ahmed was hurting people. Ahmed hurt himself. He probably hurt himself more than he hurt anybody else back when he was in WWE. How old is he anyway? How old is old Tony these days? Ahmed Johnson. He's got to be what? Maybe not mid-50s. Probably early 50s, I'm guessing, right? He wasn't looking too good last time I saw a picture of him. He was looking very different than he looked back in his younger days. Solid Monster becoming Dirk Diggler? Well, better Dirk Diggler than Dolph Ziggler. 58. He's 58? Ahmed Johnson is 58? I didn't think he was that old. Let's move on here to Be the Booker. I was booking the top matches of WrestleMania here just a few minutes ago. So now we get to randomly book the WrestleMania main event. So you could throw out everything we just talked about, because we're going to book the WrestleMania main event right now. Forget all the talk about Roman Reigns and Goldberg, Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, Edge and AJ Styles. Let's book it right now. See what we come up with here. We have got Roderick Strong. We picked him last week, actually. Didn't we get him last week? Didn't we get Roddy last week? What is going on here? Roderick Strong against Bryan Danielson. That would be a Ring of Honor main event. At one time, many years ago, that would be a great Ring of Honor main event. And you know what? That would be a great WrestleMania main event as well. I think those two would get the crowd into it. Two pros who know how to work a match. I think that would be a fine WrestleMania main event. Let's head over on the women's side. And see what the female main event is going to be for WrestleMania. What is going on here? What are you doing to me? Are you kidding me? Good Lord. Good Lord. I can't get rid of this woman. I just talked about how she doesn't want to wrestle ever again, and then she just went and booked herself in the WrestleMania main event. There's some weird AI stuff going on here where they heard us talking about Nia. It's like when you do a search on Google for something, and then all of a sudden all these sidebar advertisements on every website you go to are about that one product that you looked for that one day on Amazon. That one pair of slippers or something that you were looking for, and before you know it, you're getting fucking slipper advertisements every 5 seconds. Anyway, thank you again for hanging out with me here on a Friday night and all the super chat love. I do appreciate it for a very, perfectly fine episode of Dynamite. Nothing that is out of this world or anything, but I thought Tony Nese looked good in his loss to Sammy Guevara. We did not get the main event that we were promised, but still a good match with Pac and Penta against FTR. Hopefully we'll get Rey Fénix back very soon. And I guess Sunday night. I'll be back with you live here on YouTube on Sunday night. NXT War Games. The first non-takeover pay-per-view for NXT since the first takeover, really, that they had back in 2014. This is the first takeover branded major NXT event under the 2.0 banner. Yes, Turtlehead, that is a great way to describe the show tonight. It was a show. It was a show. We'll talk War Games on Sunday night. And earlier on Sunday, episode 733 of the podcast will drop, as it does each and every Sunday. And then next Wednesday, I guess, live on Long Island, I will not be at the show. I will be parked right here so that I can review the show as soon as it goes off the air. So I will not be at the UBS Arena, which is only about 25 minutes probably from where I am, right? It's just a drive over the Belt Parkway onto the Cross Island. By the way, if you are going to the event, from what I have heard from people who have been to some Islanders games at the UBS Arena, getting out of there and back onto the Cross Island is probably not going to be too much fun. You might want to leave the show a little on the earlier side. That's just a friendly tip that I've been given from some people who have been to the new building. But even if you are not watching the new NXT, come on and spend some time with me on Sunday night. You know I'm going to give it to you straight. If it's a great show, I'm going to tell you it's a great show. And if it's not a great show, well, those are some of the best streams, aren't they? See, NXT doesn't get me angry, though, the way the main roster does. It sometimes leaves me disappointed. You get disappointed, Sala. Like that $5, you're going to see a lot of $5 disappointed Sala Monster Super Chats if we get a disappointing NXT show. I try not to get angry and overly upset about it the way that I do the main roster, but you never know. You never know with these things. Moore is in the chat, has second row seats for Dynamite on January 5th. That is awesome. That's the first TBS Dynamite. Where is that from, by the way? Where is that first TBS Dynamite on the 5th? Moores, where are you from? Hey, Devin from NJ2000. Look at that. Channel member for 8 months. You know, those of you who joined as a channel member at the beginning, I only opened the channel memberships up for the first time in March. So in the next few months, you guys are going to be coming up on 1 year. I think your badges might change. I think there might be a new badge. I have to check on that, if there's a new badge for when you hit 1 year. So we're going to be hitting a lot of one-year members coming up soon. But Devin's been with us for 8 months. He said, cherish, keep, rent, and sell. Lesnar, Cena, Orton, Batista. And did I watch the Batman animated series growing up? No, I don't think I watched the Batman animated series. I watched The Real Ghostbusters. How many of you remember that? The Real Ghostbusters cartoon? I watched that and Thundercats and, you know, He-Man Masters of the Universe, Inspector Gadget, Pink Panther. Cherish, keep, rent, and sell. Of those names, it's interesting. I would cherish Lesnar. Lesnar is a once-in-a-lifetime kind of attraction. I would probably cherish Lesnar. I would keep... Keep Cena. I would rent Batista, and I would sell Orton. Newark, New Jersey. Of course, that is the Newark show. Okay, so January 5th is Newark. That's also not too far from where I am. Rojo Bear, channel member for 3 months. He's but a little baby. He's a little baby. He's going to grow up to be such a fine young adult once he hits his 12-month birthday here on the channel. Says, did you check out that Warriors of Virtue movie I told you about? I did not, no. I've got about 4 movies that I have been told I have to watch, and I have not gotten to that yet. In fact, today, during dinner, I finally started The Wire. Season 1, Episode 1 of The Wire from HBO. So I've officially jumped in. Not an overly exciting episode. I have to assume it gets more exciting as time goes. It's like Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad was not really an exciting show the first few episodes. And then you sort of hit that point where it's like, ah, okay, things kind of kick up into the next gear. So I have to assume that's the way things will be with The Wire. Don't watch it, just watch the review. Oh, Dick Tickles is talking to the other. I thought he was talking to me. I'm being ignored. People are talking amongst them. I like that, though. We have a sense of community here where people just ignore me and they just talk to each other. Yeah, I agree. Season 2 of Breaking Bad, that's really where things started to pick up. By season 5, it was just ridiculous. I mean, in a good way. But that first season, those first few episodes, I wasn't totally sold. Devin says, was it better than the pilot of The Shield? No. No, it was not. No. That probably is the best pilot that I've ever seen. The pilot of The Shield is probably the best pilot episode I've ever seen. Just for the ending alone. That's what hooked me into the show, was the final 2 minutes of the pilot. And yeah, The Walking Dead is in the middle of the final season, season 11. It's about to come back, I think, in February. This has been a comeback season. This has been one of the best seasons of the entire series. So naturally, it's about to come to an end. I have been thoroughly enjoying season 11 so far. It really is amazing when you get a new showrunner. Depending on who it is, they can breathe new life into a show. You know what other show needs a new showrunner? Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. They could both use a new showrunner. SSB with the $10 Super Chat. Getting in here at the very end before we head out. Do you have faith that NXT will turn things? I'm hopeful that they will find their footing. It's a completely different vision than the one that they've had for the last 5 or 6 years. It's going to take a lot of getting used to. They have some real stars in the making. They've got some diamonds in the rough there in NXT. Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes. I know they're very high on Von Wagner. I don't see it right now. But Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, stand out to me. Probably the most out of the talent that they have down there right now. But they have a lot of really talented people on that NXT roster. The Creed brothers in Diamond Mine. But the show is still very hit or miss each week. Steven Gonzalez, has a wrestling match ever made you cry? Yeah, but for the wrong reasons. I've seen some matches that have made me cry, all right. I've seen some bad matches that have made me cry. But I mean, as far as a really great match that maybe the storyline or something, I don't know if it made me cry. Maybe when Flair won the Royal Rumble in 90. Actually, I was so young back then, I wasn't crying. I was more impressed that I knew who was going to win the match. I had predicted it beforehand. Flair cried, right, with a tear in his eye? I don't think so. Other than being horrifically bad, I don't recall there being a wrestling match that was so good I cried. Cry laughing. Maybe cry laughing. But in terms of crying, like emotional crying, happy crying, I don't think so, no. Actually, you know what? There were two times that I did cry. The first time, and I, look, when I go back and I watch it now, I still actually tear up a little bit. And it wasn't really the match so much. It was what came after the match. WrestleMania. Randy Savage. Ultimate Warrior, retirement match, great match, great match. But the stuff that came after the match where Savage, he's beaten, he's a defeated man, and Sherry is in the ring and she starts kicking the shit out of him and the camera is cutting back to Elizabeth and the crowd. Because Savage and Elizabeth had been apart on TV for a couple of years by that point. And Elizabeth jumps the guardrail and runs to the ring and throws Sherry out of the ring. And Savage is there and Elizabeth is there and they run into each other's arms. And people in the crowd are crying and Bobby Heenan is making fun of them. But not for nothing. That angle is fantastic. And I would put that on the list. That would be on the list. The other thing, and it's kind of silly now to look back on it, but as a younger fan at the time, when, and of course I look at it now and it's like how awful it was what they did to Bret. But when Hulk Hogan came out at the end of WrestleMania 9 and he went into the ring and he beat Yokozuna and he won the WWF Championship back, There was a tear shed. There was a tear shed. I look back on that now and I am ashamed to admit that. Whereas the Savage and Elizabeth thing, I feel exactly the same way now that I did back then. The other thing, though, not so much. But at the time, to see Hogan win the belt back one last time and Real American is playing and everything is... I got swept up in the moment. I am ashamed to admit. But beyond that, no, I don't think there's been anything else. Yeah, I mean, Brock in the chat says Edge retirement. I mean, there have been segments on TV where people have announced their retirement. 10-bell salutes for wrestlers who have passed away, like Eddie Guerrero when they had the 10-bell salute for him. There have been a lot of moments like that. I'll tell you, I'll give you one more moment, and then we'll get out of here. I don't want to get too sappy on you. But in terms of moments, I think the one that really got me the most, and still gets me to this day if I watch it back, is the 2004 Hall of Fame. When Bobby Heenan gives his speech, and at the very end of the speech, right when he's wrapping up the speech, he says, the only thing I wish, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he says, the only thing I wish is that Monsoon was here. And then he kind of looks up at the heavens and, you know, for Gorilla Monsoon. That gets me every... That moment gets me every time. Those two were just the best thing. And you could tell how much they loved each other and how great friends they really were off camera. You know, even when Bobby gave his speech on Nitro, which supposedly at the time, you know, Tony Schiavone didn't want him to, or was angry or something, that he was taking time out of the show to talk about Gorilla Monsoon, who never worked for WCW. Whatever the case was with Schiavone or whatever, you know, creature crawled up his ass that night, if that rumor is true. But Bobby was very emotional even that night when he eulogized Gorillas right after Monsoon had died, and he said a few words about him on Nitro. That still gets to me. Of course, the Brody Lee tribute show last year, the Owen Hart tribute show. There have been a lot of moments like that got the tears flowing. But those are genuinely, I mean, those are just heartbreaking moments. You were talking about death. You can't cry about death. I mean, what can you cry about, you know? All right, guys. Good chatting. I'm going to head out of here. I'm going to leave you guys for the night. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you for joining me tonight, those of you who stuck around. Hit that thumbs up if you haven't already done so. Thank you to the new subscribers. Thank you to the new channel members. I'm going to see you guys live right back here on Sunday night for War Games. War Games. NXT War Games. I'll see you guys on Sunday night.